Welcome to Opportunity Knocks. My name is Todd Patton. I am your host, and this is episode one, our first episode. I'm fired up to present this to you. Look, I'm new at this, so I'm not going to be perfect as a host. I'm going to make a lot of mistakes. I guarantee you, though, in episode 10, it's going to be a lot better. Episode 30 will be really good. Episode 100, I'm going to be a pro. Anything in life, in business especially, it has to do with practice. You got to practice. You got to continue to get better. So I know I'm going to make a lot of mistakes. That's no problem. I'm good with that. The goal for me is to bring value to you guys. I want to bring value in this podcast. I also want to learn. Look, I'm going to be bringing in, let me tell you the format. There's two podcasts a week. One will be myself individually, and the other will be with a guest. The guests that I'm bringing in are rock stars. I'm finding the top CEOs, top athletes. I'm bringing in local celebrities, and I'm bringing in people that have made it. And I want to know from them, when was opportunity knocking on your door, and what did you do to take advantage of it? So we're going to hear their stories, and I'm really excited about that, and find out, you know, the adversity they went through, how they overcame that adversity. I'm confident it's going to bring value to everybody. So I'm really excited about that. Again, I can't thank you enough for listening to this and being part of this. And I want to grow this, you know, and I know it's going to take time. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint, but I'm ready for it. First thing I want to do is for episode one is kind of go through my story, my backstory as an entrepreneur, just so you know how I got to where I'm at. And some of the challenges that I went through, that'll be episode one. It'll be a shorter one, but let's get right into this. So my story is this. I punted school. School wasn't for me. I grew up in South Florida, graduated high school with a 1.57, barely got through, had a lot of fun in high school, and it was a great memory, but I wasn't a good student. And I took that then to Florida State. Oh, correction, TCC. I always say Florida State, but it was Tallahassee area. But I went to community college out there. Not a lot of people do that with a 1.57 GPA. But luckily, my parents let me. I don't know how I talked them into that. That was probably my best sales job ever, is when I convinced my parents to let me go to college after I graduated high school with a 1.57. But anyway, they let me go. We had our off-campus apartment and had a blast. But after 2.5 years, I couldn't do it anymore. I was just partying too hard and wasn't getting good grades, and I just knew that wasn't the angle I was going to go. I loved working, though, and I loved business. So I came down south, and I got a job at a company. My first real job was a company called Special Finance. Rest in peace, Lenny Silvestri, an awesome boss. He was a great, great person to work for. And Lenny and his dad, Lenny Sr., owned this company called Special Finance. And I get a job there, and it was, my job title was a booker. So basically my job was to value cars. It was an auto finance company, Special Finance was the name of it. And I would value the cars. So I'd run there, and the buyers, the people that were buying them, I was basically their assistant, you know, running around. And I did that for about 8 months, and they called me in the office and they said, we're going to promote you to a buyer. Now buyer was like it was a good salary. People that when they're in their 50s that were buyers. And I'm a here 21, 22 year old kid. And I became a buyer. My first job as a buyer was to go to Miami and buy on site at a dealership. So I get sent there. And again, 22 years old in Miami. I look Spanish, but I don't speak it. And these guys, the F&I finance guys and sales guys and car, you know, they got to get the deals done. And if I don't approve a deal, I mean, they're all over me. And I'm telling you, I left that day. It was on a Saturday. I spent the whole day there. I was abused. You know, I mean, they were all over me, but I stand my ground. And I if I didn't like a deal, I didn't buy it, because I knew if I bought a deal and I brought it back to one of the Lennies, senior or junior, I'd be in a lot of trouble, you know. But that taught me a lot, because you had to stand your ground. What I saw is how they spoke. I knew that that was not a good way to handle confrontation. And I just didn't like that, you know, that the way they screamed, and it was just not a good environment. I said, you know, I'm going to keep working my way up. So I started me getting raises, and things were going great. Ended up buying my first house in Boca. Unbelievable. You know, now, and I'll never forget, my mom was so proud, because she's like, Todd's got a job. He's buying a house. And we thought he was going to be a dropout and this and that. And I just closed on my house, and it was about a week into it. I own this little townhouse in Boca, and they called everybody in a meeting, in a room. And I'm going, why is everybody coming in? You know, what is this? And they said, we have bad news. This is Special Finance now, the company in Boca that I worked at. They said, we have bad news. We're filing bankruptcy. And everybody's looking around like, wait, where did this come from? They go, you have 1 hour to get all your stuff and get out of here. And I'm like, well, I just bought a house. How is this happening? I'm looking around. I'm a 22-year-old kid, just lost. I don't understand, because I was working hard. I was putting overtime. I was working my ass off. And now I'm losing my job. I never forget. I went to the guy, one of the managers that I had there. And he said, Todd, you should be in mortgages. You know, it's doing the same thing. It's looking at credit, but be an underwriter at a mortgage company. This is what he told me, the advice he gave me. So I sent my resume out all over, and I'm sweating because I don't have a job. I get a call right away from a bank in Tampa called Republic Bank. It was called Flagship Capital. It was a division of Republic Bank. And the guy calls me up. He says, Todd, your background, even though you only worked a year, it's in special finance, which is what I came from. And we're doing these subprime mortgage loans at Republic Bank. You'd be perfect up here. Can you come for an interview? I said, yeah, we're in Tampa. So I got to drive to Tampa. Now, remember, I have no job, just bought a house, and I'm driving 4 hours for an interview. I nail the interview. I get the job, and now I got to relocate, put my house up for rent, and I go to Tampa. So now moved to Tampa, working at a bank now. This is a legitimate bank, Republic Bank. And there's no, you know, this is as safe as it could get. And I start working myself up, similar path. Something was frustrating to me at that time. I could see it just because of a control thing. I didn't have control. I knew that what just happened to me at Special Finance, but I kept grinding it. I said, you know what? This is a bank. I kept telling myself, this is a big bank. This isn't going anywhere, this company. Sure enough, a year into that job, 1 year, they call everybody a meeting with all staff. Everybody come over here. I say, what? This looks familiar. And they say, this is Flagship Capital. So it's a division of, we have bad news. Republic Bank, they say, is getting rid of Flagship Capital. So we are no longer in business. You guys are going to get a nice severance, everybody, because it's part of the bank, but we're out of a job. So now I'm going, I can't believe this. I'm 0-2 now. I had the Special Finance, great job. Then I had this company at Flagship Capital. And I'm gone. I'm out of a job. And I've been working my ass off. I've been working so hard, overtime, putting extra hours in. And that's when it clicked. And I said, you know what? I'm going to build my own business. I'm not doing this anymore. And I was only 23 at the time, 24 maybe. Remember, I learned how to look at credit. So I understood that side of it and the inside, the processing side. And I said, look, I can do real estate and sell houses. And again, I was on the inside part of it, but I saw how much money they were making, the mortgage people, the real estate people, the big checks. So I ended up getting my license. And I think they gave us a 3-month severance. They gave us like an amazing severance package. So I had a little bit of runway. So I got my real estate license. I got my mortgage license. And I started a company called Mortgage Approval Group. That was my first business. It was just me and my buddy, Pete, who's a good friend of mine today. And Pete and I started this up, and it was tough. I mean, it was the first 5 or 6 months, we didn't make a lot of money. And when we did make money, it's gone, you know, the money's out quickly. So you're not building anything up. So Pete decided it wasn't for him. So he left, and I said, I'm going to keep grinding this. And I just kept at it and networked and built network. And I started, next thing you know, a year into it, I start having cash coming in, money coming in. I'm like, man, I'm making money now. This is fun, but I can't make it with just me. I don't want to be one man shop. I got to hire somebody that can do the inside for me. So I made my first hire, Brandy Witkowski, a great friend to this day. So Brandy and I built this company, Mortgage Approval, up, and we eventually hired more people and more. But next thing you know, we had 50 employees and built this business up. And the good thing I loved about what happened during that time is I had bought real estate. I said, you know what? That's the safest investment. Let me load up on real estate. So I was buying, I think I had 10 investment properties, single family homes, mostly all in Tampa, St. Pete, Clearwater, that area, but single family rentals. And then I bought the buildings that are company was in. So we, at this time now, we had a real estate company called Florida New Construction Realty, and it was FNC and MAG. So each office had two sections to it. The real estate side, which was FNC, Florida New Construction, and then the mortgage side, Mortgage Approval Group. And it was just such a great time. My dad worked for me, and my brother worked for me. You know, like I said, we had about 50 employees at the height, and we were cranking. And it was just, it was done the right way. We did things the right way too, which that's probably the thing I'm most proud about is we had, a, you know, because again, I came from the processing side, the inside. So a lot of checks and balances and great people. You know, after we hired Brandy, we hired Lori Herring, who's these, you know, Brandy and Lori were with me for 15 years. You know, it's a family when you have that kind of connection. And, you know, that was such opposite of what I went through previously with the corporations. You know, you don't have control when you're in that. Where on the, when I built my mortgage business, I was the one directing it. And I loved that, you know, I loved having that control. And yeah, there were some sleepless nights. It was tough times, but we got through that as a team. And that's the, you know, so important is that you can't do it yourself. You got to put yourself around smarter people than you are. And that's what I did. And we built it up. So we own five commercial buildings. I have five office buildings in three in Tampa, two in Fort Lauderdale. And I had about 10 rental properties, single family homes. And then I bought a house on the Intercoastal in Pompano. It was four houses off the Intercoastal, but it was like a little two bedroom, one bath. I said, I'm going to demo this. I'm making money. You know, things are going so good. Let me build a dream house. So I built this dream house. And right when I started construction on that, an opportunity came up in downtown Tampa to buy a building. And I'm like, man, I was probably, I don't know, 30 years old at the time now, maybe 31. And I'm like, should I buy a building, an office building? And it was a historical building in downtown Tampa. And I said, you know what? You only live once. I'm going for it. So I'm all in now. Right when I buy that, I close on it. They go out and they said, we got bad news. You got asbestos in this. I'm building my house in knockdown demo, and they're building it up. I mean, it was new construction. And then all of a sudden, there's this financial crisis that's going on, and the crash starts happening. Banks are going out of business. Our lenders were going out of business. There was nights when I couldn't sleep. I remember I'd be just laying in bed going, what am I going to do? I have all this debt. I have all these houses. It was humbling. Because I thought I was untouchable. I really thought nothing could stop me at this time. I am going to make so much money. And again, I was thinking, how successful can I be by making money? And that was a mistake. It's not about that. Yeah, I mean, the end result is you got to make money. You know, that you want to be financially free. But there's so much more than just that. I ended up saying, you know what? Let's get everybody together. I'm going to keep everybody on. We're gonna get through this. 1 month got worse. The next month got worse. The next, it just continued to get bad until ultimately I was left with nothing. And there was maybe 30,000 in the bank, and our payroll, I think, was 100,000 a month. I mean, it was done. And I sat with each employee and I said, I'm going to help find you a job. And everybody got out of that business except for my brother, Ryan, who actually stayed in it. And today is crushing it. He's going to be our first podcast guest on Friday. It was a real humbling experience because I filed bankruptcy. I mean, I filed for Chapter 11, lost everything. It was time to start over. Now, remember, no degree. I have no college degree. My only education really is in mortgages. You know, it's credit reports and things like that because I worked at the banks. But I really only had that mortgage experience, and that industry was gone. And I would predict that at the time that it would be gone. It would be bad for about 8 years, 7 years. It turned out a little less than that, but it was a long run that it was like that. But I said, I can't, what am I going to do? Get a job? I even thought of it. Maybe do I become a teller at a bank? I swear that crossed my mind. You don't know at that time what to do. But so I stopped. I looked at everything. I said, you know what? This bankruptcy, which as bad as it feels to do that, it was a weight off my shoulder because I could not, I mean, getting these calls from all these banks on this building that you just bought in downtown Tampa, it was brutal. I met the people, because that was right in the heart of downtown Tampa, which, by the way, if I held on to that, that's probably worth $10 million now, but whatever. Can't look back. It was a really stressful time. But then I said, you know what? This bankruptcy, as horrible as it was, it helped relieve those. I stopped getting those calls. And now it's like, let me just figure out. I literally handed all the keys back to every bank that I had. Those properties, you know, at the time, just to give you perspective on the rental properties, I was buying them for about $60,000 or $70,000. I mortgaged about 80%, 70%. So if I mortgaged $50,000, they were worth at one time $70,000, $80,000, $100,000. This is in a rougher area, obviously. And this was 20 years ago. But at the time the houses went down, they were probably worth $30,000. So I was upside down in all of them. And it was just a really, really tough time. And I just basically thought about it. I said, what am I going to do next? Do I go back to college like Rodney Dangerfield? Do I go back and do school? I don't think so, because we know how that worked the first time. So I said, how about this? How about I say really simple, what am I good at? That's all I asked myself. What was I good at? I built the mortgage company and real estate company based on my marketing skills. I was able to recruit good, smart people, salespeople. I was able to market the business really, really well. And that's what I was good at. The product happened to just be mortgages or real estate, but really it was marketing that I was good at. So I said, all right, I'm good at marketing and I like doing it. But that's so general. Everything's marketing. You know, you have phone, you know, telemarketing, you have mail, direct mail. There's everything's technically marketing. So I said, how can I be specific? I said, the internet now, and now this was 13 years ago, 14 years ago. I said, the internet, 2009 this was. So I'm like, the internet's growing. It's this Google thing is blowing up. So what if I focus on marketing around this Google thing? So if somebody Googles, I mean, back in the day, it was the yellow pages, but now those aren't around anymore. The yellow pages were like this thick. So I said, the yellow pages isn't going to be what it is, but let's go now after Google. So I signed up for a class and it was a 3-day seminar in Atlanta. Fred Schmidt, I haven't talked to Fred in so long, but he was a big part of this. And he was a real estate investor that I had. So I met him when I had my mortgage company. And I said, Fred, I'm doing this. He asked me, always checked on me. He's like, man, what are you doing, Todd? How are you going to do it? I know you had a tough time. I said, I don't know, man. I'm going to go to this seminar. I don't have the money for it, man. I got to figure out. I'm going to ask my parents. I really don't want to do that. He goes, I'll tell you what. If you go, I'll go with you. So I borrow some money from my parents. Fred flies up there too, meets me in Atlanta, and we go to the seminar. Now, Fred didn't need to go to this. He wasn't looking to build a business. I think he just wanted to educate himself. He was a successful investor and had a lot of money, super successful, but he was there. And I'll never forget when we went through this, the way they were talking, I was like getting so fired up. I'm like, man, day one was great. Day two, even better. And I'm writing notes and I'm actually got my corporation already made out. I'm just fired up. I remember being so low the week before and now so high because I knew what I was about to do and what I was about to build. I turned to Fred. I'm like, man, the guy speaking, just did you hear what he said? And he said, yeah, about the class. He has a class that he and it's in Texas. I forget the dollar amount. I want to say it was like $5,500 or $7,500, something like that. Obviously, I didn't have that money. Fred literally takes out his credit card, puts it next to me. And he goes, Todd, this is yours. You pay me back whenever you can. I'm going to lend you the money. And I'm like, Fred, you're kidding me. He said, no, no, no. Go ahead. I believe in you. I paid for it. I flew up to Texas a couple weeks later. And I did this major, it was awesome, boot camp type thing where I learned everything, all the details. And not only that, the guy gave me his Rolodex of all the connections he had. And that's how I built my next business is I said, you know what, I'm going to do I'm going to build a digital marketing company focused on SEO and reputation, online reputation. And that's how Patton Marketing was born is from that seminar. And there's the first opportunity. You know, it's relationships that I had. I had really strong relationships. And Fred Schmidt, I'm not even sure if he knows how important he was back then to me, but it was a huge moment in my career is that when he handed that credit card and said, go. He trusted me and he knew I was going to get it. Of course, paid him back, got the money, you know, everything was done. And then I started patent marketing. I moved to Miami and built it up, went from 3 clients to 10 to 15. And next thing you know, we had 30 clients. And at that time I realized in order to grow this anymore, because I left one thing out. At this time, I realized I don't want to have 50 employees. I realized the headache that I had and the nightmares from, you know, not being able to sleep. I couldn't sleep at night because of all the overhead that I had with the staff. So I said, I'm going to do it real lean. I'm going to have it where I outsource my work and I'm basically the rainmaker. So that was the model. I was a salesperson and then I had a team in India doing the work. And I actually flew out to India and interviewed different companies. It was unbelievable. But all those people I got were from that seminar I went to in Dallas, all the connections that I had. So these were vetted people that were super successful, that knew how to do SEO, reputation management, web development. And I ended up hiring, well, not really hiring. I partnered with a guy out there named Jatish. So Jatish and I said, hey, look, I am going to be your rainmaker in the US. I'll bring the business in. I need you to support it. And he built a team there. I think I had 8 people that supported me. And it was awesome. It was very profitable because, you know, I didn't have any overhead really. But then I got an office in Miami, small little office in downtown Miami. And I hired my first hire. And similar to how Brandy and Lori were on the mortgage side, I hired a guy by the name of Don Warshaw. Don is the man. You know, at the time, didn't have much experience with digital marketing. He didn't know anything about it, actually. But what I noticed about Don is he really understood people. So there's IQ and there's EQ. Now, Don happens to have a high IQ, too. I don't have a high IQ, but my emotional intelligence is through the roof. Don's very high. He understands people. He knows how to talk to them. And I saw that. And I said, Don, if you want to work, you know, if you're looking for anything, I'd love to. And he jumped on it. And, you know, that was 12 years ago. It's been a real special relationship. And he was a big part of the glue that was able to, you know, let me build that business, which is the patent marketing. You know, we would both fly out to India every year and we built it up. We had at one time, I think about 20 employees. That was the height of patent marketing, but it was a good run. And about 5 years ago, I got approached by Mark Alfieri. And Mark is the owner of Brandstar. He is a genius. And he's more important, forget about being a genius. He's one of the nicest, best people I've ever met and worked with. Mark came to me and said, we're looking to get into digital marketing. And, you know, you have this company. I've heard about you. You know, you have a good reputation in South Florida. We had super really high ratings with Google. And, you know, we had about 50 clients at the time recurring. They paid every month. And he liked that side of the business. And he's offered to buy my company. And I was like, and we were very small revenue wise, like not big enough to sell. Yeah, this is, you know, an amazing opportunity. So I jumped on it. He bought patent marketing 50%. And then I basically just ran it as it was. And things were going great for the first couple of years, year and a half, and then COVID hit. You know, we lost about 20% of our revenue. We got some of it back. Actually, funny story. I started they had the PPP loan. So I started the PPP program and it's called the Patent Protection Plan. I think it was called Patent Protection, the PPP. And we basically gave 2 free months to anybody who wanted it. And, you know, basically, so it's basically a 2 free month. We waived 2 months of their payment just to keep them on board. So what could have been maybe a 40% loss of clients turned out to be about 20%. And then a lot of those companies came back to us, you know, not a lot, but I'd say 3 or 4 of them. Some of them, unfortunately, went out of business through COVID. But, you know, that business was a fun business to be in. It was great. And, you know, when we merged with Brandstar, we had resources now that were unmatched from before. You know, we had this studio we had, and Brandstar's got this state-of-the-art studio. But with that comes a big company. You know, there's 300 employees. You know, going back to kind of what I see my strength as, and that was one of the things I always wanted to do, was identify what I'm good at and do that and focus on that. don't try to, you know, do something you're not good at. I wasn't good with big companies. I just wasn't. You know, I did it at the bank. I did it at Special Finance, and it didn't turn out the way I wanted it to. So I said, about a year ago, I went to Mark and I said, Mark, Patton is now absorbed into Brandstar. You know, the clients are run by a rock star. Seth Rand, who was a competitor of mine at Rand Marketing, is now running the division of Brandstar Digital. And it was a really good merger with all of our clients into that. And the great news is Don works for Seth's now. So, and they have a phenomenal relationship. So that's something I'm really proud of, that the some of the team, not all of them, unfortunately, but some of them were able to still be part of this Brandstar team, and they're growing. So while all this was going on, I was losing my identity. I was kind of like, where am I supposed to be? How do I fit in? You know, I told you my story, so you guys know, how do I fit in here? And I tried different things. And to Brandstar's credit, they gave me the platforms. Hey, you do what you think you're best at. They didn't handcuff me at all. I just couldn't figure that out. And it was a struggle. You know, 2023 was a really tough year for me in business, just because I just wasn't sure of the identity of what I was going to do. I was kind of in digital still, but then I was like, maybe I should get out and do something in the film side. And I was unsure, you know, and identity is really important to know what you're going after. So I went to Mark, and fortunately he's got that gift where anybody, all staff can go to him and talk to him. And, you know, I said, look, I gotta do something different. It's just not working out. And he totally got it, understood. He said, yeah, you're an entrepreneur. I understand. Go after it. And I told him, I said, we'll probably cross paths again and work together, because I really respect you and how you've treated me as a partner. And I'm looking forward to that next journey. And we shook hands, and that was it, you know. Actually, we hugged. But anyway, after that, I realized, I sat down and said, what am I good at? I asked myself that same question. What am I good at? What do I want to do? What do I do? I believe that building startups are what I enjoy. I love building businesses. That's what I enjoy doing. And I like the grind of building businesses. So instead of picking one company, I said to myself, why don't I build multiple streams of revenue? And then let me document the journey of me doing that. Let me just show exactly what the good that happens, the bad that happens, everything. And that's what I'm going to do. And that's what Opportunity Knocks is. It's me documenting that journey of building businesses. I would guess that I'm going to have about 10 companies by the end of this year, operating businesses. I really believe I'll have 10. And whether it's 7 or 13, whatever the number is, but it's going to be in that ballpark. I'm starting out with 5 right now. Some of these I'm going to cut right out of the gate, and hopefully none of the 5 that I started, but that's okay. Failing is all right. You know, if I'm realizing something's not good and it's not going well, the biggest mistake is I stick to it and I keep trying to do it. So it's okay to cut ties and go on to the next. You know, I think a big mistake that people have is they look at failure as it's such a negative word, and it's not. It really isn't. I mean, look at sports. If you want an analogy, you know, baseball players, you know, the best of all stars, they fail 7 times out of 10. You know, they get 3 hits and they're 300 batters. It's unheard of. That's rare. That's an all-star. They fail 7 times and they're all-stars. So why in business, if you fail, is it looked at as not so good? It's okay to fail. And I think that, you know, that's the first thing that I really want to get out is, and stress to myself too, is that I am going to get knocked down hard, and I'll get right back up though. And that's the key, is, you know, how you handle adversity. You know, there's an amazing, I don't know who said this quote, but adversity doesn't build character. Cause you know how a lot of times people say, it'll build your character. No. Adversity doesn't build character. It reveals character. And that is the truth. So when you see somebody dealing with adversity, how do they act? You know, if I'm golfing and I'm playing golf with somebody and they shank a shot or they do something bad and they throw their club and they do it. They're dealing with adversity that way, right? And that's not a good sign. So in business, how you deal with adversity, that reveals your character, you know? And that's going to be a big part of these businesses is adversity. It's a fact. I'm going to have that. So I'm going to do some sales calls. I'm going to put that on. If I'm on the phone with somebody, I'll have it on speaker. I'll record it here and I'll use that content and show you kind of how I spoke to them. Networking is a really big part of how I'm going to build these businesses, you know, not networking. I am going to be working. There's different titles that we'll call that these podcasts are going to be. Networking might be one, something around networking, you know? So I'm going to do it of how I believe these businesses need to be built. And then that topic will be what I talk about, in the podcast. So I think that's enough. Now I've been going for 35 minutes, which is way, I was saying to myself, I'll do about a 15, 20 minute overview, but I knew I was just to start talking. So, you know, I hope you saw some value out of this and at least not even value so much, but really just to understand where I'm coming from, where I came from, my background, the adversity I had dealt with. I'm excited to do this. I'm really excited to get this going. And I don't know if you guys can hear that. That's opportunity knocking.